Still ahead, firm assurance to contain spillover of renewed clashes in Boku in the Northeast Regional. As the Northeast Regional Security Council says, there is no cause to panic over yesterday's roadblock attack.
Fortunately, all the security agencies are there and we are not panicked. Things will be restored and everything will go on well.
We're also hearing from political actors, including John Mahama, who is urging Boko factions to embrace peace.
Fortunately, all
we know that there are some sinister hands who are trying to stoke the fires of ethnic conflict. They should not allow themselves to be provoked to violence.
We'll hear from the Peace Council as they request for feuding factions to lay down their arms and dialogue after 15 persons were killed.
First is to lay down the arm and let the parties engage.
Also tonight, police closing on Agona and Yakrom shooter as independent candidates Cynthia Morrison and MPP's Chris Arthur distanced themselves from the attack that injured Nasarawa coordinator.
Which of you has a gun with you? Oh, we don't have a gun. We all went to a wedding before the program. And then how do we carry a gun when we are going for a program like this?
The gun came from Cynthia Morrison's crowd. Like, she was just sounding like a war woman. She was in front of the hotel.
And later, I'll bring you our latest feature series, Streets of Despair. And for the first time in 4 years, the Ashanti region won't be represented in the grand finale of the National Science and Maths Quiz, despite a strong start with 29 participating schools. Details of the National Science and Maths Quiz as we build up to that grand final. You want to stay with us here on News Night. Details after this. You're still live here on News Night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. I want to take you to Boku now, where security chiefs are currently in a meeting, an urgent meeting about yesterday's roadblock attack following renewed clashes there that left several people dead. We're getting conflicting reports on the number of casualties. To get some clarity for you following this particular meeting, the conflict is reported to have been sparked by the return of a rival chief, Seydou Abagri. Joint police and military personnel have since been deployed to restore stability. It's unclear how many people have been killed so far, but the MC for Wale Wale, Isaaku Somo Lucky, assured that there is no cause for panic, as they have now placed put in place a number of measures to deal with the security situation.
So far, so very good. We are in it. The regional minister is chairing the program, and we have discussed a lot of things that will bring peace back to the good people of Northeast region. You know, we are in Northeast region, but the issue is at Boku. But the people in Boku are also affected by the people in Northeast region, because the Mampushis there are also, some of them are coming from Northeast region. So we have to be concerned with what is going on. But in terms of what is happening in West Mampushi and Padamata Wale Wale, inshallah, so far, so very good. There's no more problem. Everything is going on peacefully without any problem.
There are many figures that are being bandied around about the number of people who have died. How many people are on your list?
That is exactly what I cannot say for now, because we are still in the meeting, and both the police and the military are there to give us the update. So we are on it to settle on how it was done. But so far, I have heard of one person, but the other ones that people are talking about, that's what the police is now going to update us on. That is when it comes to our area. But we don't know what is happening in Boko.
But do you know whether any of them are receiving treatment at the hospital?
Certainly, I don't have information on that as well, because the municipal security commander is also in the meeting. Just about to give us his briefing on
but
the matter.
Going forward, will there be heavy deployment of the police and military on the ground for some time?
If there is a need for that, if that will bring peace back to the place, we'll do that. Fortunately, all the security agencies are there and we are not panicked. Things will be restored and everything will go on well. But now it has come everywhere. You can't even find anybody on the street again on those issues.
And the regional peace council has been wading into this particular resurgence in violence there. The Upper East Regional Executive Secretary of the Peace Council, Ali Anakbiam, warns the feuding factions to lay down their arms and sit to dialogue.
As far as coming from the ground is an expression of fear, because for some time now, Boko was quite calm. People were going about their businesses. peacefully, and then suddenly this new round of violence emerged. So it is an expression of fear and the insecurity that is now surrounding the whole place, as I said, even including travel from Boku to the south, especially on the Tamale-Bolga Highway, then around Boku itself. So the issue is about the fear and the fact that they believe the security services should be doing more to ensure that at least some of the violence is curtailed in a way.
What would be the Peace Council's proposal?
So our proposal, first, is to lay down the arms and let the parties engage. The second is to get all major stakeholders from the top, if I say the top, from the presidency, the ministries, the MMDAs, all to play their roles in ensuring that the parties are able to engage in the way that they can sit and listen to each other. The Peace Council itself from our national level has a role to play, and we are saying all at that level should begin to see the Boko issue as a national issue and tackle it as such.
Now the affairs, it will also affect the December elections and may disenfranchise people in the affected areas. Dr. Victor Doke is a security analyst with the Kofi Annan Peacekeeping Training Center, is calling for an increased deployment in security, both military and the police there, and an immediate resolution of the chieftaincy dispute that underlies this particular eruption in the violence we've seen over the last few days ahead of the elections.
We are going to likely have a state of emergency declared in Boko, because obviously the curfews aren't doing any good. And when that happens, scenario two will play out, being that once there's a state of an emergency in Boko, we're trying to get CDU out for peace to prevail, for calm to be restored. And then what will happen going to December 7th? Are the people of Boko going to be disenfranchised because of the tensions there? If CDU is out by then we're going to have elections in Boko. If not, then you are sure to say or conclude or project that elections in Boko may not come up because of the tensions in there.
And that in itself could lead to a further escalation there, wouldn't it?
It could lead to
if
a
the people feel
escalation.
Disenfranchised.
Exactly. Now you're looking at who benefits from this chaos and who doesn't. Okay? And the perception we have is the Upper East or Boko itself, the Kusasis are aligned to the NDC. Majority of them are aligned to the NDC, and the majority of the Marxists are aligned to the NPP. So technically, you would realize and come to conclusions that the NDC may not benefit if a state of emergency is declared in Boko.
I want to take you live now to the Upper East region, where my original correspondent, Albert Sori, has been following this very closely, and joins us right now. Albert, what's the latest on the developing situation in Boko tonight?
Yes, Evan. So we haven't witnessed things like we said yesterday, because of the heavy deployment of police and military personnel in the town. One thing that also we realized today is the fact that many people have stayed indoors. And so throughout the day, the streets of Boko have been almost deserted, and just a handful of people, you know, are seen from time to time moving about.
And we know that there have been efforts to try and deal with this, including this meeting that is currently underway. We've heard that there have been a deployment of additional security personnel to the area. What can you report as far as that is concerned? And that is making the difference?
Yes. So today, as I said, we haven't witnessed any shooting incidents like we saw in the last 2 days. The regional minister, we've made a lot of effort to speak with him today, but we've been told that he has had so many meetings today, meeting different groups of people. And so his PRO has asked us to wait. And up to now, we haven't been able to get any comment from Rexed regarding what is further being done. But as far as, you know, the restoration of calm is concerned, I can say that, you know, normal calm has returned, and there haven't been any shootings today, except for the fact that there's still tension in the town.
Thank you very much, Albert. We're keeping a very close eye on this. As we know, there's a meeting that is currently underway, has been underway for a while. We can speak to the MCE of the West Mamprusi, is also the Municipal Security Council head, chairs that particular council there, and joins us on the line. Is Thank you very much, Isaku, for your time here on Newsnight. What can you report? What was the outcome of this meeting?
Thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners. The meeting, the outcome was very fruitful. We had very good deliberation with all the heads of the security agencies. It was a joint security meeting between the RESEC and then the MUSEC. So we all had a meeting chaired by the regional minister. The program was successful. We outlined activities that we can do to stop on a scam. Everything is peaceful in the West Mampusi municipality. Unfortunately, because of yesterday's incident, it has confirmed that we have lost about 4 lives. As at yesterday, everything is moving on smoothly.
And based on the intelligence you have, will this hold? Will this moment of calm hold?
Yes. With the strategies we are putting in place, definitely it will help. It will help. We are praying that our people that are, those that the people that are doing that will stop, and we'll all resolve to how we can resolve the issue through the law court and actions. But for now, things are okay, and I know the people that we serve will also listen to us. They know that using the... We must all come together and then see to it that we have a successful resolution to the issue.
Have you seen an increase in military police personnel on the ground?
Of course. Both police and military have been deployed, and they are all...
There are fears tonight that on the back of the violence we've seen, that it's very possible that on election day, December 7th, citizens in Boku may be disenfranchised because it would be too dangerous to set up polling booths there. As Security Council Chair there, what's your briefing on this, and what are you doing to ensure that this doesn't become the reality of December 7th?
Yes, I am not the Municipal Chief Executive for Boku. I am Municipal Chief Executive for West Mampusi. That is Wale Wale. It is rather that because of the incident in Boku, it affects the people around my area. And that is why the issue had to affect my people over here. But for us and the election, I'm not sure there's going to be any problem. Make sure that we put all things in place to have a successful election in December 7th. And I'm not sure this issue will have anything to do with that. As we speak today, if you ask your intelligence or anybody around the Wale Wale and East environs, is that able to do our best to make sure that we bring back sanity to the area?
Thank you very much. And just as we've been speaking on this particular subject, we've had a warning about this potential impact on this, on the elections on December 7th. And during the voter registration exercise itself, the EC was compelled to halt the voter registration in Boku. And I know Peace Council is trying to avert a situation where individuals there will be disenfranchised because the place will still not be safe for EC officials to operate. How many individuals may be affected if this indeed becomes a reality? We're watching this closely. Kofi joins me with details of this. Kofi?
Well, so Evans, let's start from the Boko Central area itself. It has 21 electoral areas, and we estimate, according to what has been put out by the Electoral Commission in terms of the provisional statistics in terms of the ballots, 149 polling stations may be affected, in a total of about 64,000 registered voters for the Boko constituency. Now, if you go to Bimsi area itself, which is in the northeast region where the incident actually happened, we are talking about 10 polling stations and 4,396 registered voters that could be affected if the incident actually continues.
Thank you very much, Kofi. We're keeping a close eye on this developing story in Boko. As we've heard today, there's an additional deployment of military and police there to try and deal decisively with the eruption and violence that we've seen over the weekend. I'm still going to be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly here on Newsnight, right after we're done with business. I'm also going to be bringing you the latest series, latest episode in our Streets of Despair series tonight. You want to join us for that right after business here on News Night. Hello, James.
Hi, Evans. Coming up in business this evening, management of Sunon Asogli Power Company accuses finance ministry of dishonesty in debt restructuring exercise, and Food and Beverages Authority kicks against introduction of digital stamp machines and system The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Charcoal and Heba. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight with me, James Shen. Now, let's settle for the details. Now, the independent power producer, Sunon Asogli, has described government's position on debt owed the company as dishonest. Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam over the weekend accused Sunon Asogli of acting in bad faith after the power company shut down its plant due to a $259 million debt. Spokesperson for Sunon Asogli, Eli Plimakpetobo, said the finance minister has not been candid in its negotiations to restructure the debt.
That is absolute dishonesty again. You know, in 2023, the end of the year, we requested, there was a similar situation like this. We requested $90 million to service our debt. Out of that, he paid $60 million, remaining $30 million that he promised to pay in February. I don't know, his calendar has not ended February yet. Here we are in October. We've still not received that $30 million. And we are asking, the whole of 2024, you have not made a dime to us. Add $30 million to it. Will you say that is a bad faith? Will you say that is unfair? You are owing me about $259 million. Give me $60 million out of that for us to negotiate about the $2 million. And you are saying this is a bad faith.
Eric Glim Apetogbo is the spokesperson for Sunon Asogli, still on the finance ministry. Now, Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam has assured that the Bank of Ghana is in a strong position to meet the dollar demand of businesses in the coming weeks. Speaking at a news conference in Washington, D.C., USA, Dr. Adam insisted that there is no cause for alarm.
And I can tell you that the Bank of Ghana has accumulated significant reserves to meet the demand. We also know that the IMF, after the board approval on the 2nd of December, will disburse $360 million to Ghana. We are working with the World Bank also to disburse another $300 million under the DPO series. And so in addition to what the bank has already accumulated in reserves, respecting these flows, forex flows, which certainly will help in stabilizing the CD further into next year, early next year.
And that was Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam there speaking. Now, to some other stories, the Food and Beverages Association of Ghana has reiterated its disapproval to the introduction of new digital machines for fixing excise tax stamps on their product by the Ghana Revenue Authority. According to the chairman of the association, John Awuni, this will serve as a disincentive since manufacturing firms are expected to bear the cost of procuring the machines.
Don't have to do that at the expense of the manufacturers. Just as ECG introduces new machines from time to time, but not at the expense of consumers, so the GRA can also go procure new machines installed at the manufacturer's premises when they find it necessary at their full cost, at the full cost of the GRA, at the full cost of government, but not at the expense of manufacturers. It is not the duty of manufacturers to go look for digital machines installed at their own cost and so as to enhance tax and pay taxes again to the government. I don't think that is acceptable. And the AGR must make this very, very, very clear.
John Awuni is the chairman of the Food and Beverages Association of Ghana. Now, Oyster Agribusiness, an innovative agri-tech company specializing in the climate-smart agriculture, has raised $2 million in funding to expand its operations and deepen its impact on smallholder farmers across Ghana. This milestone was made possible through the support of Root Capital, RDF Ghana, and Sahel Capital Social Enterprise Fund for Agriculture in West Africa, with the fundraising process led by Pan Africa Limited, a leading business development service provider. Chief Executive Officer Edmond Combat outlined the impact the fund will have in the agri sector.
It's going to help us to increase the number of farmers that we've engaged over the years from the current 4,500 to over 10,000 farmers. And the number two is that it's going to help us to create more direct jobs with the youthful population that we're employing and encouraging into agriculture. And then number three is that it's going to help fund our CAPEX because we need to construct a few warehouses in our operational locations. We need to get a few farm implements as well. And all of this will augment and further the works of Oyster Agribusiness.
Edmond Combat as the Chief Executive Officer of Oyster Agribusiness. Now, Tropo Farms Limited, Ghana's foremost aquaculture expert and the leading supplier of fresh premium quality tilapia, says it will continue to bring new offerings to its customers. Marketing Manager Rebecca Avomo Diallo reiterated the company's commitment to improving on its customer services. She spoke to Joy Business after winning the Fresh Fish Brand Award at the National Customers' Choice Awards Ghana.
The work that we are putting in the industry is relevant. It means that a lot of people love our tilapia, and it means that when it comes to tilapia in Ghana, it's nothing but Volta Cash tilapia. So we are really grateful to have won this award today because our customers mean a lot to us. So we are really, really grateful. So going forward, you should actually expect more. We are looking at new products that we are working on. They will hit the market very soon. We are looking at products in terms of transformation. You know, it's not always tilapia and bangku, tilapia and rice. We are looking at avenues of transforming the fish into more products.
Rebecca Avomo Diallo is the marketing manager for Tropo Farms Ghana Limited. And that's all for business on Newsnight with me, James Ishen. Over to you, Evans.
James, thank you very much. In our latest episode of Streets of Despair, my colleague Sweetie Abochi takes us deep into the heart of Tema Station, where a family bound by circumstance rather than blood has created a fragile sense of home. Beneath the terminal, a scrap of rubber, a mosquito net, and a thread of hope are all that stand between them and unyielding streets. If you have ever wondered what life is on the streets, what it looked like exactly, here's a sneak peek.
I'm out here tonight to tell you a story. A story about lives that usually come alive when most of us are in the comfort of our homes. I'm talking about the stories of children out here in these streets.
Accra, a city that never sleeps. While most of us retreat to our homes, the streets tell a different story. Here at Tema Station, children call the streets home. Different groups have settled here. Families, not bound by blood, but by circumstance. Poverty and unemployment push them to the streets, where survival looks very different. A mat beneath a bus stop, a mosquito net, and hope are their only shelter. But the night brings danger, and 17-year-old Samira shares her daily fears with me.
Sleeping on the street is very difficult because sleeping here, scammers, thieves, they are moving on us all around, all night and all day. So some people have been stealing our things, and we don't know. We are just managing to like that until we go. It's just by the grace. It's just God. God gift. God just gifted us.
Despite the harsh conditions here, teenage mother Aisha believes life in Accra is still better than the struggle she left up north.
Life here is very difficult. It's very difficult. There's no work here. The work, if you want to get work, it will be difficult for you to get work. And if you went out to go and carry kaya, it will be very difficult to get that kaya.
Why did you come to Accra?
Just to find money. Because working on North is very difficult. And here too, we are just managing here.
Well, I've spent a little over an hour over here so far. And it's a fun life. You know, these children, they make the most out of what they have. There's a very communal spirit here. They're all belonging like family. And it's nice to see that although their lives are here on the street and they want to come out when most of us are in the comfort of our homes.
I spent the evening with one family. These children here, too young to understand their plight, also find happiness in the little things, like a simple day's routine. They look forward to the night because it is a time for games, laughter, and storytelling, an escape from reality when they have the lorry station to themselves.
Thereabouts, and some of these children out here on the streets of despair are preparing to go to bed, and they tell me that this is where they sleep. And right here, she's showing us how to prepare the net for them to sleep.
This is life on Accra's street, a life of resilience and struggle, but also of hope. Hope for a future away from these streets, where their children can dream beyond survival. Switchy Abochi's report for Joy News, Accra.
And that is Switchy Abochi's report there. Fascinating indeed. You really want to watch the full piece. It's across our social media platforms. It's also live on our news at 7 on television. You don't want to miss it. Just go onto our many social media platforms. It's on Facebook, on Twitter, also on YouTube, and watch it for yourself. How life on the streets look like at night. And guess who's joining us in the studio with sports? Hello, Mr. Crow.
Hi, Evans.
I didn't see you on the field on Saturday.
I saw you on the tracks.
Exactly. That's my whole point.
Yeah, but you lost.
Oh, but that's... Did you see the false start? You didn't see the false start?
There were Ghana Athletics officials there.
But the Ghana... That's my point. We actually have video evidence of Muftao starting before the gun was fired. Yes, I'm going to show it to you.
I don't believe that.
But I'll show it to you.
I watched the race live.
What?
I watched the race live. I mean, you have of course, very good but running form. But
exactly. That is why I should have won that easily if he had started at the sound of the gun.
I don't know how you allowed Muftao, who runs like a kangaroo, to finish the race.
He only won because he started before the gun was fired.
I'll look at the video.
I'll share with you. And tomorrow, make sure when you come back here, after you've seen the evidence, you have to confess. Good. Okay. What do you have in the headlines?
Let's talk about Ghana's under-20 team, the Black Satellites. Their head coach, Desmond Ofeh, he has promised victory in Wednesday's WAFU Championship final against rivals Nigeria. Now, Ghana registered an impressive 2-1 comeback win against Cote d'Ivoire in the semi-final, while Nigeria beat Niger by 3-1 in the other semi. The result means both teams have qualified to the under-20 AFCON, which serves as qualification to the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Now, Ghana has not been at the World Cup since 2015, after the 2021 edition was cancelled due to COVID, which came just a few months after the Black Satellites won the Under-20 AFCON. To Europe now, and Man City and Spain midfielder Rodri is set to be named the new Ballon d'Or winner for 2024 after Real Madrid Vinicius Jr. was snapped. Now, due to the snap, no Real Madrid player or official will attend tonight's ceremony. So there will be no Bellingham, there will be no Carlo Ancelotti. None of them. Real Madrid have decided to boycott tonight's event because Vinicius Jr. was snapped for the top award. And probably the biggest news of the day, Ruud van Nistelrooy, he's going to take over Manchester United's managerial role on interim basis.
Emphasis on interim.
Interim basis. After Erik ten Hag was sacked earlier today. Now, Man United suffered their fourth defeat in the league season against West Ham United. And it looked like the manager of the club was basically tired, and they've given him the axe. Now, the latest news is that Sporting Lisbon head coach Ruben Amorim is being spoken to.
Exactly.
He's
that's my
like
man.
He's a top candidate.
That's
to take
my
over
man. That's what I predicted will happen. Should happen. I'm
he
happy.
Come.
I'm
he
happy.
Should come with the striker.
Yeah.
It should be a package deal.
All of them. Anyway, guys, thank you very much. Now, Jordi's has showcases stories on environment and climate change responsiveness to the public at this year's Green Film Festival in Accra. The Jordi's Climate Focus series and hotline documentaries on illegal mining and environmental devastation featured prominently at the festival. The masterclass lead producer of Joy News Climate Focus series, Kofi Edudonfe, reiterated the essence of enhancing conversations on climate change in the country.
With a growing population and an economy reliant on industries like agriculture, Ghana faces increased climate vulnerability, similar to many West African nations. With extreme weather conditions and increased temperatures already affecting the economy and human security, leading to shifting living conditions across the country. Speaking to Joy News at the 2024 Green Film Festival in Accra, Kofi Edudonfe, lead producer of the Joy News Climate Focus series, urged government and key stakeholders to adopt innovative solutions to address climate change in Ghana.
One of the cardinal interests in coming up with this production at Joy News is to highlight the critical importance of the climate conversation. Climate change, as we all know, is a phenomenon that is currently with us, not only in Ghana, but the globe. And for us, we believe it's part of our responsiveness to create awareness, to drive the narrative around climate change, and most essentially, to bring policy to bear on the need for us to act in the area of mitigation and adaptation.
And that there is Kofi Edudonfe. Now, Foreign Affairs Minister Shirley Ayokoboju has vowed to strengthen relations among Commonwealth nations following her election as Secretary General of the 56th Nation International Body. Addressing the media upon her arrival in Ghana after her win, she outlined her vision for the Commonwealth. Listen to my colleague Kenneth Jesse, who was there and filed this report.
Well, after over 30 hours flight from the nation of Samoa, the Secretary General-elect of the Commonwealth of Nations, Shirley Ayokoboju, touched down in Ghana around 12 p.m. local time. And of course, there were party enthusiasts, supporters and sympathizers who thronged the Kotoka International Airport to welcome the Foreign Affairs Minister.
We come from different nations and cultures, but we share a commonwealth of values. My vision is to build on these strengths, promoting trade and ensuring education, skills training development, and innovation for the teeming numbers of young people across our Commonwealth. I will provide leadership to work with member states in collaboration with other multilateral institutions towards addressing climate change, which presents a clear existential threat to our Commonwealth. I shall harness opportunities for transformation and enhance our global voice. I'll prioritize inclusive and effective decision-making, leveraging technology and AI, artificial intelligence, to build gaps and amplify marginalized voices.
And congratulations to her, making Ghana proud once more. I'm pretty sure you remember Kofi Annan was flying the flag of Ghana pretty high at the UN. She'll do that now. In the coming years. Now, for the first time in 4 years, the Ashanti region has hope of an NSMQ glory has been dashed. The region, which is proving to be an indomitable force over the years, suffered an unexpected setback this year with none of its 29 participating schools making the grand finale appearance. My colleague Jacqueline Soma, your boy, has to break down on the intense battles that led to this moment.
The journey began with high hopes as 29 Ashanti schools threw in their hat in the ring for this year's National Science and Maths Quiz. 8 of these schools were seeded, but as the dust settled, it became clear that Ashanti star power would face some heavy challenges. The heartbreak began when 5-time champions Prempeh College had to take a bow after suffering a defeat to Infantsapim School. 2-time champions with the most final appearances, Opokuwari School, bowed out after a tough clash with Ghana National College, both at the quarterfinal stage.
We are going to show Opokuwari School that when you are going to Kumasi, when you get to Yamransa, you turn left. And so we have shown them the road to Santasi. We gave their ladies the same point margin of 21 points. And today we have given their husbands also a 1-point margin. I said at the end, we'll say what? Let's accept these words in French. At this point, for Prempeh College, Stephanie.
Then there was Osei Tutu Senior High School, who defied the odds to reach the semifinals for the first time. Despite their fierce determination, they were edged out by Infantapim School, putting an end to the Ashanti region's run.
Bamenego versus Barcelona. I hope you check the scoreline.
Yeah. I checked the scoreline.
Yesterday, Barcelona versus
Barcelona. You really want to make a date with us. It's exclusively on Joy News because the final itself is here. It's on Wednesday and it's going to be live across our channels on television, but also on our social media pages. You do not want to miss that the grand finale when it happens on Wednesday. The National Science and Maths Quiz is produced by Primetime Limited and sponsored by the Ghana Education Service in partnership with Girl PLC and supported by Pepsodent and Jupay, Prudential Life Insurance Ghana, and Better Malt. The broadcast of the 2024 National Science and Maths Quiz on Joy News is supported by the NASCO, Vitamilk, Virtual Security Africa, ACE, Medical Insurance, Build Financial Technologies, DBS Roofing, Syntex Tanks, Family Health Medical College, Chop Boss Technologies, Action Secondary Technical, DPS Pipes, Wakanao, and Coronation Insurance. You want to make a date with us on Wednesday for the grand final. And that's it for Newsnight tonight. You want to make a date also tonight for that exclusive interview with the former majority leader, Osechi Mensah Bongsu, who's been speaking to me about the happenings in Parliament. He's been talking a lot about the consultation or lack thereof, but also why he's still occupying the current position as Minister for Parliamentary Affairs when he's not the majority leader, a position that has traditionally been held by the majority leaders. He explains why Afenyo Makeng is not in that position. You want to join us for that at 9 p.m. on PM Express. And many of you join us with your thoughts on that major story around the U.S. And a couple of them says, this one from Becca says, the U.S. should also include bodies like the Peace Council and the EC when their actions lead to chaos. And T-Smart says, the troublemakers have already sent their families abroad. This threat from the U.S. is much ado about nothing. More on myjoyonline.com.